I invite each one of you to come in and have a seat and worship with us. I'd like to remind you that today is the first Sunday in a brand new year, and that the new year, I challenge you this morning on something. The new year lies before you like freshly fallen snow. Now, we haven't seen that stuff in a long time, but who knows what lies before us. It is trackless. This new year gives you an opportunity to come up with new things in your life. And I challenge you to do this. A former pastor of mine at Rocky Glade used to have us do this. And I've done it here a couple of times in Sunday school class. But this is something you can do when you get home. If there is something that has bogged you down, troubled you, you've carried bags of rocks with you all year, write that, whatever it is, on a piece of paper. Then light you a candle and put that piece of paper in the flames and burn it and blow it away with the breath of Christ. And then leave it alone. Don't go back and pick it up again. And on another piece of paper, write down something that you are looking forward to in 2007. Something that you would like to see happen. Something that you would like to do, a goal you would like to attain, just something that you would like to think about maybe. Write that on a piece of paper and tuck it away, maybe in your wallet or in a special little place. And then sometime you'll find that piece of paper and you'll say, I did want to do that. So that's just a little challenge to you this morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church this morning. Do we have visitors with us this morning?
We do. We have visitors right here. The Holloway family, Teresa and
Brian.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Teresa and Brian. And my mind went blank. And Jean Peter is here with Carol Simpson, the red coat. And first-timers, I believe that's the only first-time visitors or attenders that I recognize this morning. So we welcome them and all others too.
Okay, thank you. Welcome to Jenkins. Challenge. I saw lots of people in that first service when I came in right as it ended. Second service has got to do better. I see lots more faces up here. Announcements. Oh, of the registration pew pads, have those been passed out? Everyone register your attendance. Announcements. Are there any announcements that Susan? Okay. Happy birthday, Michael. Do we have any other announcements that needs to be spoken?
It would be helpful
spoken?
If they filled out their form, if they're going to eat supper Wednesday night, so we kind of know who's coming, but if you haven't been coming, it would be good to fill it out soon.
Okay, so put your name in the pot if you want to eat Wednesday.
Wednesday, eat at 6, worship at 6:45.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
4:30.
No adult choir practice today.
Okay. Do we have any other announcements for the joke? Okay. Okay. All right. Do we have any other announcements anywhere? Okay, let's go to our prayer request. I see several listed in our bulletin. Do we have any other prayer requests that anyone would like for us to add?
We have 18 minutes of prayer and praise requests, or so it seemed like at the 8 o'clock service, and I've forgotten some of them, but I will mention a preacher friend, Joe Vault. He was in this presbytery and in our neighboring presbytery in Nashville. He's preaching in Kentucky now. Heart attack this morning, and calls went out and from around the denomination, and let's pray for Joe Vault and his physical well-being, etc., in his church also.
Okay.
Maybe I'll look to Melanie and see if she can help me with another name or two.
That's
County Paramedic Fire Department here. Also cuts grass for Luke's service. Hard working man. Even getting his attention. Doing well. And sees that as a blessing in his life, even a stroke.
Andrea. Yes, ma'am. just say his name is Ralph.
Ralph Hoffman.
Okay. Please write these on a slip of paper there in the pew rack and slip those in. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. Hey, that's a plus right there. Parking is premium. Praise God. Do we have anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Right. Isn't it wonderful that we can voice our concerns, our prayer requests and praise requests out loud and not be afraid to do so? Do we have anyone else that has anything on their heart? Let's all add these people to our prayer list and in our hearts and in our minds. And as we do this, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer to prepare our hearts for our worship of God. Our call to worship is taken from John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit,
and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth.
Let's all stand and turn in our hymnals to hymn 66. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. Atonement for sin and open the life in that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, mercy, redemption, oh, purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The mile is the vendor who truly believes, let open from Jesus the pardon receive. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. The Father, Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has done, great things he has done, and praise our rejoicing, Jesus the Son. But your reverence higher and greater will be, the wonder our transformed when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
You bow your heads and join me in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we have come into your house with so many needs this morning. Lord, we come knowing that you can take them all, that you have a solution to every problem, an answer to every need. Lord, we don't even know what to ask for, but we just bring our hurts, our pains, our sicknesses, and we bring our joys, and we present them to you, Lord. And we trust life to you, thanking you for who you are, revealing yourself to us as a loving, caring God. Lord, thanking you that you love us. And thanking you that you invite us to come and worship you. Lord, enable us to worship in truth and in spirit today as you have called us to do. Why would you want us, Lord? Just because you love us. We pray for you to speak to each of us today. Bless every aspect of this service that it might bring glory to you. Lord, we know that some need to be touched in one area and others somewhere else. And you're able to touch us all as we have gathered in your name. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you that we can carry one another's burdens and together bring them to you. And we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and join me for the Apostles' Creed, putting our belief into words, and then we will follow that with the Gloria.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our call to confession today is from Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And I invite you to join in our prayer of confession. God of glory, You sent Jesus among us as the light of the world to reveal Your love for all people. We confess that our sin and pride hide the brightness of Your light. We turn away from the poor. We ignore cries for justice. We do not strive for peace. In Your mercy, cleanse us of our sin and baptize us once again with Your Spirit, that, forgiven and renewed, we may show forth Your glory, shining in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus gives that assurance of forgiveness. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. I believe it's time for our ordination of the elders at this popular place. Is that correct?
Yes. That falls my responsibility. If Jim Baker and David England will come forward. Terry Windrow, if you will come and stand with us also. I'm going to invite the active elders. These are the elders who are serving on the session right now. Now, two of them's service will end at the end of this service. But I think Pete will end as soon as we install Pete. He will have completed his 3 years. Sherry was completing an unexpired term, so he will end the service and start a new one. And Steve Alamore has also, he completes his 3 years on the session. Now, we have, so if y'all will turn and choir can see, you can turn and face the congregation, then turn back around and face me if you will. Got to turn and face them. And they've been your elders for 3 years, 2 years, 1 year. Okay, thank you. Then I'd like every person, and this church has reached out and tried not to have just a few people that repeat themselves in service, even though you have a rotation system. We have reached out to numerous people and invited them to the leadership of the church. And we invite all the elders inactive to come and stand with us here in the altar also. I know we have one visitor, a member of our church now, but is an ordained elder in the Tusculum church, was, and he joined our church, and we invite Mr. Jenny to come and stand with us also. We've been blessed the last few months with Tommy and Gloria Job. Tommy is an ordained minister and presently in Columbia Presbyterian. And Tommy, will you come and stand with us also? Now, Jim and David, I hope we've prepared you for all these hands to be placed on, okay? I told them how to stand where we won't push them through the floor or something. Or where they won't fall. Okay, now, all of you have an insert. It should be 4 pages or 2 pages or however you want to look at it. It talks about elders 2.70. And then it's 2.90. It talks about election, ordination, and installation of elders. And then on the backside, I'm on the third page, I guess, 4.0 talks about the session. We talk about the session meets. A little educational process this morning. When the elders meet together, we're meeting in a session. So where the session is meeting. And we're referred to as the session. The session of the church. And you can read all about that. And we will kind of refer to this if we get to that point in the sermon this morning. Now then, I've asked Tommy to do the ordination prayer, but I asked David and Jim the questions concerning ordination, and then the sixth question, I'll ask Sherry only that question, because she was ordained last year. And so, David and Jim, do you believe the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament to be the inspired Word of God, the authority for faith and practice? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the confession of faith of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church as containing the essential doctrines taught in the Holy Scriptures? Do you approve and promise to uphold the government of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church? Many constitutional issues. You got saw a few of them yesterday, didn't you? Okay, question 4. Do you promise to promote the peace, the unity, and the purity of the church? In participating as an elder in the judicatories of the church, which would be Presbyterian, Synod, and General Assembly, do you promise to share in a responsible way in the decisions that are made, and to abide by these decisions, and to promote the welfare of the church? to the rest of you, I think you have answered those questions somewhere along the way in the affirmative. Sherry, if you'll join with Jim and David on this question, number 6, do you accept the office of elder in this church and promise faithfully to discharge all the duties thereof as God may enable you? Do you, the members of this church, acknowledge and receive these elders? And do you promise to give them that support, encouragement, and respect as belongs to this office? Do you? Will you kneel, David and Jim? David and Sherry, I declare that you have been regularly elected, and Jim and David ordained, and all three of you installed elders in this church. As far as we know, agreeable to the Word of God, according to the government of this church, and in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me be the first to give you the right hand of fellowship as you come to the session and join us in leading this congregation. And I invite the rest of the elders to do likewise. End of the service, ask you three to come back forward and let people offer their congratulations to the congregation.
next line says that
the minister shall then deliver the newly installed officers and the congregation an appropriate charge. That will be the sermon. Hope it will be appropriate.
The congregation will now turn in their hymnals to hymn 51. And we will sing verses 1 and 2.
Care not what church you belong to what denomination you are a member of, we invite you to the Lord's table. We practice what we call open communion. And if you are a believer in Jesus, believing Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, we invite you to eat and drink with us as we eat and drink from His table this day. Thank you. Lord God, we remember how Jesus took the bread and broke it in half cycles, having given thanks. So we offer thanks, Lord, for this bread. We thank you for Christ giving his body to be broken for us. We thank you, Lord, for you sending him to give his body. And we praise you for it. Now bless this, Lord, this morsel, that it might truly speak to us of your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And having received, I can share with you either the bread remembering his love given to the body of Christ being broken for you. And he took the cup and offered thanks, invited the disciples to drink of it to remember him. Lord God, we thank you for this cup. We thank you for Jesus giving his blood for our redemption. We thank you that we have eternal life because he gave us his life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Having received, I share with you the blood of Christ, shed for the remission of sin. We share it with you. Thank you.
Righteous God, thank you again. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I believe we have some special music coming. Thank you, Catherine. I believe it's children's time now. Miss Andrea, I invite all the boys and girls to come down front to listen to Miss Andrea and remain in the sanctuary because there is no children's church today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There you are.
Good morning.
Thank you, Miss Andrea. Are you sure you weren't at my school? Children and horses are a lot alike, I decided. Our offertory sentence is taken from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I invite the ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and offerings.
You have given us. We thank you for the spiritual gifts, abilities, natural abilities that you have imparted to us. We thank you for the physical blessings that you have poured out. Lord, we thank you for the great gift, the greatest gift, Jesus, the Savior. And we offer our gifts in appreciation. Amen.
God is so good. He is so good to us. Be very still and listen to His Word this morning. Taken from Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, ask a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup that I am going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the 2 brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Brother Larry.
You've been here over an hour already. Somewhere along the way, somebody decided that an hour is how long people should stay in church. How long do I have? I will not go into detail with my sermon this morning, but if you'll follow with me the outline, you will know that Gary Bomar started last week to talk about service. And he preached a lengthy sermon, and he was in the 8 o'clock service, and I acknowledged his preaching from last week, and a very good message, a very good sermon. And he set the precedent, though, for to go more than 30 minutes in the pulpit. But one thing about him, they were preparing brunch, and we had to wait till they got brunch prepared, so you were patient. You may not be so patient today. I call your attention to the thought of an elder. And the servant role of the elder. But I also call your attention to the servant role of the preacher. I have stated, I don't mean to be bragging, but I really think that I have captured that servant role as good as any minister that I know. I believe in it, but I must be choosy on what service I do. You'll even notice that when Jesus was asked, would he do a favor for the mother of James and John? He wanted to know what it was that she was going to ask before he agreed to it. And then even after he learned what it was, he didn't do exactly what he wanted. So even Jesus in the servant role did not always do everything that was required of him or was requested of him. But note that Jesus came to be served. Jesus came to serve. We serve him now, but he came to earth to serve. Verse 28 of our lesson. Elders, I'm convinced, are servants of the Lord and in turn servants of the church. Preachers are elders also. We are called teaching elders in the Presbyterian system. The other elders, the lay people elders, are ruling elders, or I'd rather call them serving elders. I'm not sure who will agree with me on that, but they make pronouncements. Elders love to make pronouncements. Some churches do, and preachers do too. As we go to presbytery, we get to make some pronouncements. The preachers get to be a part of it. Local church, most of the time, it's the elders doing it, and the preacher is only the moderator of the group, only votes in case of a tie, but he might suggest some pronouncements that the elders would make. Elders set policy. And that's right. They're supposed to. Read the duties of the elders. Read what Paul wrote to Timothy, what Paul wrote to Titus. But there's more to the job than making pronouncement and setting policy. A greater task. A more honorable task, the role or the task of a servant. Jesus set that example of servanthood. And you find a prime example in John 13, where He gathered on the night before He was betrayed, or the night in which He was betrayed, before His crucifixion, with the disciples in the upper room. And John's Gospel doesn't tell us about the communion service. Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. John tells us about the foot washing experience. He leaves out the communion part of it. He tells us about the foot washing experience. And Jesus went prepared to wash the disciples' feet. Well, Peter had a problem with this. He had a problem with his master, his teacher, being a servant. And he argued with him. Jesus told him, said, "But Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you can't be a part of me." And so Peter, being that impetuous person that he was, he went ahead and said, "Well, just give me a bath, Jesus." He didn't say that, but he said, the recorded word is something that, "Let wash me all over." And Jesus said, "Peter, forget it. You got it all wrong. I only want to wash your feet. That's what I need to do." That was the custom. He wanted to be a servant to a fellow traveler. And we don't understand servanthood sometimes, I'm afraid. But Jesus set the example there of being a servant. The Apostle Paul referred to himself as being a servant of the Lord. Romans, introduction to Romans, the first verse, I believe it is. Titus, that book that Paul wrote to Titus, he called himself a servant. And of himself and Timothy, his co-worker, he spoke in the Philippians of both of them being servants. It's written right there. Now, the duties of the servant elder from the confession of faith. And most of you have a confession. If you don't have one, I'll provide you one. And I forget who has taken one and who hasn't. But we've printed the responsibilities of the elder and put it as an insert. John 15. Jesus took our relationship with Him a step further. He said, "I'll no longer call you servants, but call you my friends." Because a servant don't know what his master is going to do, but the friends do. He says, "You know everything that I'm going to do." He had told them so much. He says, so he raised it to a new level. And I say it as co-workers together with Jesus. It may be people that don't have to be given instruction for every little detail that they do. We know that already. We know what we're supposed to do. Friends serving together. And then Jesus' greatest service was to give Himself as a ransom for us. Think of a kidnapping. The kidnapper will write a ransom note, and they say, "Leave the ransom money in a trash can at such and such a park, at such and such a marker on I-40 or 32 or 65. That's a ransom note. And the payoff is ransom money. And when the ransom money is paid, the kidnapped person is freed. Or that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, Jesus paid the ransom for us. We were in the clutches of Satan. And He freed us. His life as a ransom. Can you think of a greater service? Omniscient. So my challenge is first Sunday of the year, this first Sunday of the month, is we have set aside elders to lead us and to serve us, that we join with them and be servants with them. Going forward, looking to God to lead us through this year. The song that we're going to sing says that, "Lead on, O God eternal." I believe it is number 483. And I want us to stand together and sing the first and the third stanza, committing ourselves to being servants in God's kingdom in 2007. With God leading and His Son Jesus
there as God in the flesh, who came to earth, ascended back to heaven after his life, death, resurrection here, with the promise to come again. Lead on, O King Eternal.